And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, so the last shall be first, and the first last. Well, that doesn't quite seem fair, does it? When I was going over this reading with the students at Concordia on Thursday, I suggested that, you know, maybe you try to imagine studying really hard for a quiz in one of your classes, and by golly, you get a 98 on it, and then when they're being handed back, the teacher takes your 98 and gives it to a student who only got a 67. They get your 8+, and then you get that student's F. That's the first being last and the last being first. That sound fair? Or with us older folk, you know, we're a little bit more sophisticated. You know, maybe we can imagine working in a sales position and you decide that you are going to bust your chops this month and you are going to beat all the other sales and get that bonus that's promised for being first in the month. And sure enough, you do it. You surpass everyone else in the department and the end of the month comes and the boss takes your bonus and gives it to someone who didn't make a single call, much less a sale. That's just plain wrong, right? So what is all this stuff with the first being last and last being first? Well, if you go back to our gospel, you'll see that Jesus was talking about the kingdom of heaven. Okay, well, that changes things, right? We're now talking about spiritual stuff. So does that mean that the worst sinner gets treated like the best saint? And the best saint gets treated like the worst sinner? Well, yes, it does mean that. And no, it doesn't mean that. So what's the deal here? How do we make sense of all of this? Well, you'll notice first that Jesus is not telling this story about the workers in the vineyard for no reason. It didn't come out of the blue. He's answering a question that Peter had asked. Yes, Peter has stuck his foot in it once again. This time, what Peter did was this. He asked what he and the other disciples were going to get because they'd left everything behind in order to follow Jesus. They left their homes, they left cooked meals, they left comfy beds, they left their jobs, their nets, their family, everything. And now they were traipsing up and down the hillsides with Jesus and doing the work of the kingdom. And so what are they going to get for following? Now, Peter didn't ask that question out of the blue either. This comes right after the rich young man. And you may remember that rich young man came to Jesus saying, what do I have to do to get saved? And Jesus said, well, follow the commandments. And the rich young man said, well, I've done that since I was a young man. And Jesus said, okay, there's just one thing left for you. You need to sell everything you have, give the money to the poor, and follow me. And you remember what happened, right? The rich man went away sad because he had very many possessions. He couldn't leave everything behind to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, right, you know, if you leave your home and your family and your possessions to follow me, in the kingdom, you're going to get 100 times more in homes and possessions and family than you ever had. And that's what gets Peter to say, okay, Jesus, we weren't like that rich guy. We left everything. We're following you. What are we going to get? And Jesus' answer is, you get the same as everyone else, but also not the same. To which we say, huh? Well, okay, so let's look at the parable then. You've got the kingdom of heaven. And it's being compared to a master who hires day laborers to go and work in his vineyard. And so we can get the obvious part of the parable out of the way. This is an easy one, right? God is clearly the master of the house who owns the vineyard. The vineyard is the church in this world. And the workers are believers called to join in the kingdom's work. So far, so good? Okay. Next part turns out to be easy too. The master goes into the town square early in the morning to find out who wants to work that day, and he hires all the folks who are there ready and waiting at 6 o'clock in the morning. And he says, look, I will pay you guys the going rate for a good day's work. Well, this is well and good. And those workers up and at it at 6 o'clock in the morning, do you think they're going to get a good day's work done? Well, of course they are, right? They've got themselves ready. They're going. They're eager. These are the cream of the crop workers. They look like a real responsible bunch. And then it turns out there's more work to get done that day than workers hired so far. So the master goes out 3 hours later at 9 o'clock in the morning, and he finds other folks standing around the square doing nothing, and so he hires all of them. This time he doesn't name the wage, though. He says, I'll give you whatever's right. Now, I should point out, these are the folks who slept in a little bit that day, right? They weren't Johnny on the spot at 6 o'clock in the morning. They kind of took their time getting themselves sorted out. Do you think they're going to work quite as hard as those first ones hired? I mean, they're certainly not going to be working as long. They're not going to get as much done. But the master sends them off to the vineyard anyway. And then there's still more work that needs to get done than there are workers hired. And so the master goes out at noon. And he finds folks waiting around to get hired again. Now, these guys weren't there at 6 and they weren't there at 9. They slept in until noon. I don't know about you, but if I sleep in too late, I'm kind of groggy the rest of the day. Nothing else quite goes right. Anyway, the master takes these workers who are probably not going to get much done with the amount of time remaining in the day, and they're not going to really be the hardest workers, and he sends them out to the field. And there's still more work that needs to get done than there are workers. And so the master goes out at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I want you to think about that, right? The day is 3/4 done. He goes out at 3, and he still finds folks standing around, and he hires them, even though they're not going to get much done at all. And then we get the corker in the story, right? He goes out at 5 o'clock because he needs more workers. And there's only an hour until quitting time. And he finds folks who are standing around, and they complain that no one's hired them. But of course, they weren't there at 6, and they weren't there at 9, and they weren't there at noon, and they weren't there at 3 to get hired. It doesn't look like these guys are all that interested in getting any work, and they don't seem to be terribly self-aware. These are not the kinds of folks that you want to hire at all, and yet the work still needs doing. And so the master sends these slackers off to the vineyard as well. So 6 o'clock comes, it's quitting time. Master has the foreman start paying everyone off, and he goes in reverse order with those who were hired last, and he gives them, wait for it, a full day's wage. Can you believe that? This is how generous this master is. Well, you heard how it went from there. Everyone got the full day's wage. Those who had worked just an hour, those who had worked only 3 hours, those who had worked 6 hours, those who had worked 9 hours, and finally came the folks who worked all day, who had agreed to that wage to start with. But when they had seen everyone who had done less work getting paid, they thought, well, if we did more work, we're going to get more pay. Makes sense, right? And yet they got the same as everyone else. So we have to understand why they were grumbling, right? It doesn't seem fair. But it does help us get what the first is last and the last is first means in God's kingdom. Because we all enter it by grace, we are all equally a part of the kingdom and its work. And everyone gets the same redemption. Everyone gets the same love and forgiveness in Jesus. All are the same. Whether a person's been a believer all his or her life, or has come to faith only moments before they died. First and last doesn't matter in salvation. In Christ, in his cross, in his resurrection, all are equally saved. Jesus died equally for all. You all get the same life in him. But we don't all get the same work. And there is a difference between first and last, but not as a matter of salvation or reward. And this is the point that Peter missed. He was so hepped up on what he was going to get as a reward that he missed the point of being part of God's kingdom in the first place. You see, there is eternal life, there is salvation, there is glory, and all of that is well and good. But what's the biggest deal about being part of the kingdom now? It's that you get to join in the work of the kingdom. Now, that may not sound all that exciting, but get this. You might remember back when Adam and Eve were first created, before the fall and all of that, they got to work beside God in looking after creation. Part of fellowship and the life that they were created for was to live and work with God. Now, he didn't need their help, doesn't need our help, but in love, God wanted and wants us joining him in his love and care. We were created in his image and likeness to join with him in the ongoing care of creation. Adam and Eve were told right after they were created, be fruitful and multiply and fill the world and subdue it and have dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and the animals. Dominion doesn't mean, you know, do with them whatever you please. Dominion means help them flourish. Raise your children, look after your neighbors. This is what we were meant for. This was fellowship with God and sharing his life. And we have to know this from kids, right? I mean, many of you may remember that all too brief period when kids are growing up, when they think that the height of living in joy is being able to work alongside of you, whether it's in the kitchen or in the yard, doing the laundry, whatever, they feel like they are joined to you fully as they work alongside you. And of course, you know they're not really helping. In our household, they're actually hindering. But that doesn't matter. They want to share life with you by working alongside you. Work didn't start out as a dirty word. But then came the fall and sin and corruption. And no longer did we work with God, but often we worked against Him. No longer were we looking after creation and others, but instead we looked after ourselves and used creation and used others for our own gratification. But with Christ, putting our old nature to death by His death on the cross, with Christ giving us new life in His life and resurrection, we are brought into the church, into the vineyard, and we are called to join in God's work once again. We are in the world, and He makes us light in the midst of darkness. He sets us as messengers of mercy and love where there is suspicion and hate. He sends us with the light and peace of forgiveness where there is strife and anger. In Christ, you get to let His light shine through you as you work in the vineyard and bring the good fruits of the Spirit, hope and joy and gentleness and patience, self-control, faithfulness, kindness. You bring all of that to a world that really needs that. Whether you do that in your homes or you do it here in the church or you do it in the workplace, wherever you go. And is it not a glorious thing to work in the Lord's vineyard? Now, some of those workers, they got to spend all day with God. Others only got an hour. Shouldn't you rejoice to spend as much time working alongside God as possible? Far from resenting those fellow workers who had just worked an hour, but still got a full day's wage, those first workers should have felt sorry for them. Right? You only got to work an hour? Heavens, you could have been here all day. Anyway, here's the point. The kingdom has received you, my friends. It received us all in Christ so that we get to join God in the work of the vineyard. Rather than worrying about rewards and who gets what, let us rejoice in the work. For you, friends, are called to bring light into darkness. Even so, amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto the glorious day of His appearing. Amen.